Turn in your Bible to Numbers chapter 9. Had a slightly unusual day. Had to run down to Somerville and do something. Then I had to come back, go up to Chattanooga and do something. And I got back from Chattanooga and I walked in the office and I hadn't been here but just a few minutes. And somebody knocked on the door, and I locked my door because I have had just people just walk right in. They don't know that that's a door to an office, and they'll just come strolling right in like it's, you know, it's just walking into a entrance door to a building. And so I usually lock it, and somebody knocked, and so I went over and unlocked it, and it was a guy named Terry Baker. Does anybody know Terry? You know the signs that you see sitting around the Acts 424 or 224, whatever that is, that you see the red thing? Well, Terry Baker does that. And he sets these things out, and all he wants is somebody just to call him and say, hey, put one in my yard. And he'll run over there and he'll drive that thing out there and put up that thing. And it talks about the sign of the Lord coming again, the sign of Jesus. But at any rate, it was Terry Baker, and he's been to the Ministerial Association a time or two. He does some radio ministry for the Ministerial Association. And he came in, Steve, and the reason he came in is he said he wanted to talk to me about cleaning our carpets. And I said, you just missed us. But his price was a little more than I could get it done for. Anyway, and so we talked for a little while, but I really found out why Terry stopped by. Terry was full of questions. Terry is a devoted Christian man. He goes to Calvary Baptist. Just a guy full of joy and love and excitement. And so Terry and I began to talk, and Terry had been watching some television program that had sparked a thought into him and had showed him some scriptures about the coming of the Lord. So he asked me, he said, I want to ask you something while I'm here. And this kind of began to show me why Terry had come by my office. It wasn't to clean my carpet. And so I began to talk with him, and he says, how do you believe that? Well, see, Terry had heard some things about us. And when Terry first heard those things, he didn't believe that. He says, oh, they're off the wall. You know, they're wrong. But when something clicked in him and when he saw this television program, he says, well, I know who I can go to and ask about this. So he ends up in my office. So he's full of questions about the coming of the Lord. And so I spend about an hour and a half or so, or 2 hours there talking with Terry Baker. And we go to Matthew 24 and Hebrews 12 and Revelation 22. And we just jump all around the scriptures, and I'm showing him that there's a street and not streets. And I'm showing him that the bride, the New Jerusalem that comes down, is the church, the Lamb's bride. I'm showing him that we have already come to that holy city. I showed him that the Antichrist, Doug, have already here. You know, they're already. You know, you've heard that they will come, but they're already here. And Terry's sitting there, and his eyes get bigger and bigger and bigger. And Terry just loves it. And what I wanted to do tonight, before we start, is I want to pray not only for Terry, but for so many people. You see, Terry is in a bondage. He doesn't recognize it yet, but he's in a bondage to a system. They have him so busy that he can't do nothing else. He would be vacating an obligation. And I want to pray, because I don't think only Terry is this kind of way. I believe there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that want to go on with God, but they can't because of these different things that they're tied up with and that they're doing. So I want to take a moment and pray for all the Terry Bakers of our area. And in so doing, just free them up so that they can find the truth. And you shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you, NIV, King James says, make you free. And so we want to make some folks free. So let's loosen them up. So I just ask you to sit where you're at. Don't stand. Just sit and just agree with me. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, say. You should be vocal. But I want you to just stand, sit there and lift your hands. And the people that are in bondages he knew it. He said it. He says, we still got the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the hypocrites that are still around today. And he says, they're still putting people in bondages. And he says, I really do want to find out what God has for me. So I sat there. Terry left. And a little while I called him and I asked him, I said, Terry says, can you come tonight? I said, we're going to be talking about the cloud. And I had shared with him a few thoughts about it. And he said, I'd love to. He says, I've got to pick up these people and I got to do this and I got to do that. And, you know, and I just really want to pray for people because I want those people picked up and taken to church, too. I want those people ministered to that Terry ministers to. But I don't want Terry to be hindered in finding the will of God for his life. So let's pray for the Terry Bakers of our area, not only our area, but all over. There are so many of them that want to go on with God because of religiosity and things that man has put on them. They can't. So would you just sit there and agree with me? I want you to lift your hands and pray. Pray out loud with me. Father, I pray for the Terry Bakers of the area. Father, not only for the one that's sitting in my office today, but Father God, for so many that are bound up by the religions and the doctrines of men. And I ask you, Lord God, that you'll set them free. Father, I bind what's binding them. And I loose, Lord God, them to go and fulfill the will of God for in their lives. Father, I break the bondages of Satan, of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the doctrines of men, and the doctrines of devils over their lives. Father, I break it right now. And I release them, Lord God. I pray they will know the truth, and the truth will make them free. That, Lord God, they can go forth into their lives doing what you've called and destined for them to do. Father, there's a call upon that man's life. And I ask you, Lord God, to release him. Father, call him forth into a deeper walk with you. And I ask these things, not only for the Terry Baker that's sitting in my office, but Father, for those that he represents across this area, Father, we set them free right now in Jesus' name. And we agree together by saying, amen, and so be it. Amen. Terry, by the way, is a Baptist, baptized in the Holy Ghost, attending a Baptist church, and he is a semi-miserable dude. Numbers chapter 9. Before we start this section, we're going to read verses 15 to the end of the chapter. And this will surmise what we're going to be talking about for the next little while. We've got so many translations. I'll just read. I'm reading King James. Somebody says, why'd you go back to the King James Version? I really don't know. You know, it's so beautiful. It sounds like God. And I don't know, I got to where I was quoting some scriptures and I could notice some NASV coming in there and it didn't sound right. So I like to quote scriptures King James. So I've kind of gone back to reading the King James Version. Verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always, the cloud covering it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle. They rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, and the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were two days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. How many noted just a little bit of repetition there? Could you tell that? But this is probably the clearest passage in the scriptures that I'm aware of about the cloud. And any time that I found over the years of studying the scriptures, any time I found a passage that was repetitious, I knew that as soon as I began to get this repetition, as I began to pick it up, I knew that the Lord was saying something. And He was saying something important because He kept repeating it. And the Word of God is too precious and too wonderful to repeat for nothing. And so He keeps repeating these things here. It's repetitious, but yet it's concise. And as you read this, it's real clear. When you finish reading it, you got a good idea of what was happening. What happened when the cloud moved? What happened when the cloud set? What happened if it set one day? What happened if they set 1 month? What happened if it set 1 year? Okay, that was it. What did they do when it didn't move? What? What happened when it didn't move? They didn't move. What did they do? They sat. They abode. They rested. What? Set the temple. Okay. So what happens when the cloud's not moving here? Oh, that's where we're going. What happens when it is moving? Sure. And I'm way ahead of myself, but I just want to throw this out and we'll get it in just a second. When did they have the most trouble? When it was moving or when it was sitting? When did the people become anxious and murmur? And when did the plagues come? When did they lose people? When it was moving or when it was sitting? Are you hearing anything yet? When did Moses have his biggest problems with his church? When they were moving or when they were sitting? What did it do most of the time, move or sit? This is real encouraging, isn't it? But there is truth here. And let me tell you, God is wiping out one generation to raise up a generation that won't murmur, no matter if you're moving or if you're not moving. He's raising up a generation that will obey and do what they're supposed to do, keep the charge of the tabernacle, whether they're moving or whether they're not moving. Whatever they're doing, they're going to keep the charge of the tabernacle. They're going to do what God's charged them to do. And all those that murmur or complain, they're going to show themselves. And He's going to send a plague. Oh boy. Well, let's see what the Bible says. All right, the cloud. Now the cloud. We're going to look at several truths here about the cloud. What you will see here is that the cloud will represent the cloud of God. This cloud that we're reading about will represent the presence of the Lord and His angels. Okay? Not only the presence of the Lord, but the presence of the Lord and His angels. And then you'll notice the progression as we progress through the study, through the scriptures. First of all, you'll see that the cloud will come and lead you. How many want that? Okay? And then you'll find the cloud comes and Moses wants to get into it. How many want that? But then you find that we want the cloud in us. We want to provide and build a place that He'll come and dwell with us. That He'll fill our tabernacle. That's good. And we can let Him lead us, or we can want to go get in Him But the primary thing is I want him to come and get me. Okay? And that's kind of where we're going tonight. And I could stop right now. I've said it all, but now I'll explain it, I guess. The first of all, let's read Exodus chapter 13 and verse 20 on page 175. You see on the right column, Exodus 13, 20. And they took their journey at Succoth and encamped in Ethan, in the edge of the wilderness. Now they are in the edge of the wilderness. Verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar or the cloud of the cloud by day or the pillar of the fire by night before the people. Now, on to the left, I show you the first principle that I see, and that's the presence before the journey. Before they crossed the Red Sea, there was this presence in their life. There was this presence that was leading them. It had led them from their dwelling all the way now to the Red Sea, to this place of crossing. The pillar, the word pillar there, it means a column. It's what the word means. And it's like a column that stands. The word means, the root word means to stand. So it's a pillar that stands. And I guess I see it sort of as a tornado. Okay? And the word fire there doesn't mean a glow. It means a fire. And our God is a consuming fire. And as we read this passage, he's in the appearance of a fire. It's not as the glowing. I mean, this is a fireball, a pillar of fire. Now, before I really came into the kingdom of God, there was something that was leading me and drawing me. Do you relate to that? Before you really got serious with God, there was something. Let me share with you. Before I really prayed, quote unquote, the Lord's Prayer, or the sinner's prayer, I probably prayed the Lord's Prayer 100 times, but the sinner's prayer, I was laying in my bed reading the Bible. There was something drawing me, leading me to that place of crossing of no return. How many of you relate to that? How many of you, before you really made a commitment to the Lord, there was something that was leading you to that place? Amen? And I don't care. I mean, you couldn't get away from it. It was something that was drawing you and leading you. Your mind was filled with a cloud of the thoughts of God. There was a fire in your life unlike anything you'd ever experienced. And you couldn't get away from it. And it was leading you to this place of crossing of no return. And I want to read that paragraph there. It's the last paragraph under the edge of the wilderness, and the first paragraph before between the camp of the Egyptians. Okay? Sometimes when we see a person being drawn to Jesus, we want to help. The reason we want to help is because we fear that they may get away before the Lord can hook them. Do you know what I'm talking about here? How many of you have ever, you know, you see somebody in a loved one that you have, and you see the Lord dealing with them and drawing them, maybe they start going to church or something, and so you want to help. And we want to help because the Lord maybe hasn't hooked them good yet, and we want to help him. Maybe if we help him, maybe they really will get hooked good. Well, that's not biblical. When the Lord drew me, I could not get away if I wanted to. There was a fire and there was a cloud. The cloud filled my mind with life-changing thoughts of God. If it's God, they will cross the Red Sea. Perhaps that is our fear. Perhaps we really fear it isn't God. But if we can help a little, maybe it could be God. Let me tell us something. Let me show you something that I've learned over the years. I have seen people come into the kingdom of God that absolutely looked impossible. I thought they would never come to the kingdom of God. But if it's God, they can't do anything but come to the kingdom of God. And our helping won't do anything except maybe drive them away. We can answer questions. We can help them a little bit maybe. But if it's God, they're going to cross. And this cloud is in their life. This cloud comes before they cross. I want us to understand that. It's before, it's at the edge of, it's before they cross. God begins to lead a person and draw a person. And Jesus says that no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And our God is this cloud. And He's drawing and He's pulling. So the first principle that I began to see about the cloud was that it's at the edge of the wilderness. It's really, you're not even in the wilderness yet. You're still out there in the world. You're still in Egypt. But before you even get to the wilderness, before you even get to the edge of it, there's God in your life and He's drawing you and He's leading you. Then the second thing I saw in Exodus 14 and 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now what I want us to see here in that passage of Scripture, it wasn't only the Lord, but it's also the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord and the cloud goes and places themselves between the world, between Satan's army, between his powers and his forces, and between those people that are crossing the Red Sea. Before I crossed into my wilderness time with God, before I come out of the world, when I cross into the Red Sea, before I did this, Satan gave one last shot to try to keep me there. He came to try to get me one last time before I could cross that Red Sea. But God wouldn't let him. See, God's going to stand between Satan and you. And He's going to make that crossing so simple. When it does happen, it'll be like crossing on dry land. When I came into the kingdom of God, people said, it will never happen. I'll give him 2 weeks. It won't ever. Delbert Young will never go to church. But you see, when the cloud draws you down, He'll come between you and that world. He'll come between you and Satan and all of his forces. And when I crossed over, it was the simplest thing. It was like walking across the sea on dry ground. And that's exactly what the cloud does. When the cloud starts in our life, the cloud starts really drawing us and leading us before we ever come into our wilderness walk in God. Before we ever cross into that point of no return, God is leading us and God is drawing us. Now what I want to point out here, make sure I got it before I leave this thought. But there are the angels that are involved. Pharaoh tried one last time. And the Lord and the angels protected the people of God and they walked over. And let me tell you now, again, in dealing with our families, our loved ones, people that we're ministering to, if God is dealing with them, it's like I was sharing with you with Terry Baker. If God is dealing with them, there ain't no demon in hell that's going to stop it. If God is drawing them, they're coming. All we have to do is avail ourselves and minister to them and love people, but they're coming in. They're going to cross over. I mean, I can think of people right now that attend our church that you would have thought would never, ever, ever come across. But when God wants you, you're coming. Then the third principle, I'm on page 176, Exodus 16 and 10. They looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And then verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speaking to them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the mornings you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Another thing I find out about the cloud is there's provisions in the cloud. Wherever the people followed God, there was provisions. How many years? 40 years. The cloud is instrumental in our provision. The presence of God, the presence of His angels, is always instrumental in providing for the people of God. He will provide for His people. That is a fact. If you're following the cloud, if you're going after Him, if you're always following after Him, He will provide. It's when we get off on our little rabbit trails. It's when we get off on our side journeys that all of a sudden the provisions become scarce. But as long as we're seeking after Him and we're following after Him, He's going to provide you meat and He's going to provide you bread. He's going to take care of your needs, morning and evening. He's going to do it. Now, here's the amazing thing I saw here. You ready for a revelation? This was a revelation to me. Even when they murmured, He provided. How many years did they murmur? 40? How many years did He provide? Even when they murmured, He provided. Now, what the murmuring will do is keep you in the wilderness. We understand that. But as long as we're following that cloud around in the wilderness, He'll provide. Yeah, there's no milk and honey, and that's what's kind of in there. I didn't say it that way. I wished I had it. That was better than what I said. What I say in here is that I want the riches of the land. Judas said milk and honey. Okay? I want the riches of the land. I want to cross on over. I don't want to murmur and complain. It's the murmuring and complaining that keeps us out. But when we go in the rebellion, but when we go in, there's the riches of the land. But He still provides. Following the cloud, Doug, even in the wilderness, He'll provide. Now, that was good to me. I mean, people murmur and complain. I said, God, how do you keep blessing them? Well, I understand now, Terry. Yeah. They're going to die in the wilderness, but He still provides until they die. Right? I mean, they never enter into the promise, but He keeps providing. So there's provision. As long as you're following the cloud, even in the wilderness, He's going to provide for you. Wow. That was a pretty good important truth to me. Okay. Then the next one that I saw, Exodus 19, and what's that, 9, and then verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. For Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And then verse 16 says, And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. The principle that I see here, is you got to be in the cloud to really hear the voice of the Lord. You got to be following the cloud. The cloud's got to be in close proximity to hear the voice of the Lord. You got to be following the cloud to truly hear the voice of the Lord. Now, the Lord manifested in the cloud, and He spoke from the cloud. But why? What was the real purpose that God shows us here that He spoke to Moses from the cloud? It's so that the people would believe. Now, let me share with you what I see. How many of you know that it's easier for you to believe that I'm hearing the Lord if the Lord is speaking to you? Right? If you can't hear the Lord, and I come into you and I say, well, the Lord is telling me this, do you really believe I'm hearing a voice? Would you have more trouble believing that I'm hearing a voice if you're not hearing a voice? Or would it be easier for you to believe that I'm hearing a voice if you're hearing a voice? Right? So if you're hearing a voice, you can believe that I'm hearing a voice. And especially if we're hearing the same voice. If He's telling you the same thing that He's telling me, and I stand, oh yeah, how many of you have ever done that? I get up and preach something, oh yeah, that's what the Lord spoke to me this week. Right? So now we understand that we're hearing the cloud. We're following the cloud. I love it when people come to me and say, well, you know, I heard that this week, and the Lord showed me this week. Well, listen, we're hearing the cloud. And you can believe that I'm hearing the Lord if you're hearing the Lord. Right? So the purpose that he shows here is that when people are really following the cloud and they're together and they're listening to his voice, they're going to hear the same thing. And a lot of times, before I'll do something, if I believe that I'm hearing the Lord, but no one else is hearing the Lord, no one else is hearing what I'm hearing, I'll back off until someone else lets me know they're hearing what I'm hearing. Because I want to make sure I'm following the cloud. And we're going to hear the same voice. Did they all hear that voice? Well, they all hear it following that same cloud. And so if we're following the same cloud, how many knows that we should be hearing the same voice? Okay? So that was the next principle that I saw about the cloud. The first thing that I saw about the cloud is that he's with us before we cross. The second thing I saw about the cloud is there are angels that are involved in this cloud. And that he's going to bring us, he's going to come between the devil, and he's going to come between the devil and us to make us make sure that we cross and we get in. And then I see there's provision in the cloud. And then I see there's the voice of the Lord that's in the cloud. The next thing I see at the bottom of page 176 is there's a revelation of purpose in the cloud. Look at Exodus 24:18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Was Moses in a hurry here? Huh? He's over there nearly a month and a half. Here's Moses up here in this cloud. Not in no hurry. I want to make sure we understand that. Verse 1 of chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 8, and let them make me, I'm on page 177 at the top, a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Okay. What's the purpose of the sanctuary? That God can dwell where? In heaven, away from us. You mean God wants to come down and dwell with us? Well, then why are we always wanting to get raptured out of here so we can go to be with him? When he says, I want to come and be with you. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. Stay up there in heaven. And thy will be done, where? On earth. My goodness. See, we are a tabernacle and we are a tent and we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants to come and dwell in us. And he wants us to build a place for his inhabitation. My goodness. There's a revelation of purpose in the cloud. Moses went up into the cloud. When he got up there, there were specific instructions. I mean, God told Moses how long to make the shewbread table, how tall to make it, how to build it. Told him how to make the altar of incense and the mercy seat. Told him how to make the Ark of the Covenant and told him where to sit it. Told him how far to set the pillars apart and how to cap them and how to give them a foundation. He told him how many strings to attach. He told him all these intricate details about building this tabernacle. He was very specific and in this cloud Moses could see all this. He saw the dimensions. He saw the cubits. He saw the inches. He saw exactly how to build this thing. Exactly. You got to get that in the cloud. The purpose, or a purpose for sure, that the nation of Israel went into the wilderness was to build this tabernacle, which is going to be a dwelling for God. Is this correct? Are you hearing me now? A purpose, at least, for the reason of going through the wilderness is to provide a place to build a place to construct this tabernacle for God to come and dwell with the people. What is your purpose for dwelling in the wilderness? What? So that God can come and dwell in you. See, a major reason, and I'm learning so much through this book of Numbers, The reason that we haven't got into the promised land yet, the reason we're not into the Judah, that land that's flowing with milk and honey yet, is because we really haven't become a tabernacle that His presence can come and dwell in yet. How many things we got to build this first? Now, God wants to dwell among His people. And when Moses is up there, all these intricate details about the construction of this tabernacle come into focus. He sees it so clearly. Everything else is blurred out. The cloud is in the midst, and he can't see people. He can't see anything going on. All he sees is the purposes of God. What God wants build, what God wants to do, what God wants Moses to construct, what God wants Moses to do. That's all he saw in that cloud. When you get into the cloud, now up until now, understand that the cloud's been coming and dwelling with us. He's been giving us provision. He's been speaking to us. He's been leading us. And now all of a sudden, we're in the cloud. I'm showing you a progression. He's not only leading us anymore. He's not only talking to us anymore. Now we're in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Have our being. Why we are being. What we're being for. So now we're in the cloud. Now, on page 177... that first paragraph, the beginning of that first paragraph where it says, "It is when." I want to read this. I kind of blurted it out there last week. How many of you have ever felt like you've been in the cloud? Before I read it. You felt like you've been in the presence of God where everything was so clear. You knew exactly what you're supposed to do in life. I mean, it's to the detail. God speaks it so clearly. He tells you how long and how big and how wide to build the mercy seat. I mean, it's clear. You get in the cloud and everything else is blurred and blanked out. And all you can focus on is Him and His purposes. Have you ever been there? How many's been there? How many's felt that presence before? Amen. That's most of us. There is a place that He's not just speaking to us, and He's not only leading us, and He's not only providing for us, and He's not only bringing us into the wilderness, but there's a place that we can come where we get into Him, and things are so clear. Well, what happens? What happens? What happens to us when we come down from the mount, when we come down out of the cloud? What happens? What takes away the presence of the Lord? What takes away the glory cloud? Somebody's building a golden calf. And that's what's exactly happened when Moses got his revelation. And he comes down and he wants to kill somebody. And you start wondering, well, did God ever even speak to me? But you can't forget the cloud. Now let's read it. It is when we ascend into the midst of the cloud of His glory that we discover that we are to do what we are to do in our wilderness. There is something to do before we can ever move on. It is when we get into Him and be in no hurry that He reveals what He wants accomplished to us. I have experienced the presence of the Lord as of you. It truly is much like climbing into a cloud. There's a rush of His presence. Everything becomes hazy except Him. He and His purposes are crystal clear for that moment. Details are exact. There is no question what He wants and no doubt about doing it. That is, until we come back to earth and find Aaron and his golden calf. We find the stiff-necked people we walk with worshiping other gods that they can see and touch. There seems no desire in them for the kingdom of God or promise. They want their gold calf. What was so clear and precise in the mount becomes blurred And we wonder if we even heard God. Should be heard. You did, and I did, because you cannot forget the presence when you were in the cloud. You know when you were in the cloud. You might doubt what you heard, but you never forget the presence. So the next thing, it's in the cloud that we really get the revelation of what God's called us to do and the purpose. You got to present yourself. And the next point that I saw about the cloud as I was studying it, we see His glory, which is really His nature. Look with me in Exodus 33:18 right there. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What did Moses ask God to do? Show me thy glory. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, if I were to ask you to explain to me the glory of God, what would you tell me? What to you is the glory of God? Anybody want to? You know I got you set up, so you're not going to comment. I understand. But the glory of God to most people is goosebumps, right? And shouting and running and laughing and falling on the floor and walling around. And am I right? It's something like that is the glory of God. Am I right? Is that kind of what we think the glory of God is? What, when Moses asked God to show him his glory, was that what he was expecting? Was he expecting the goosebumps? Was he expecting... He didn't ask God... He didn't say, God, I want to see your face. He said, God, I want to see your glory. It's God that says, I can't show you my face because no man can see my face and live. Moses said, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. The glory of God is something you can see. Chapter 34, verse 6 says, and here's, now I want you to see what the glory of God is. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, this is what the glory of God is, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will be by no means clear, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. How many of you, when you think of the glory of God, that's what you think about? Get the picture. Moses says, I want to see your glory. God says, I'll come show it to you. And he comes by, and this is what Moses sees. It's not kind of what we think the glory of God is. He didn't say a thing about goosebumps. Yeah. You heard God say this, you get goosebumps, wouldn't you? See, you never see this in preaching and teaching. You won't ever see this in a corporate setting. Where you're going to see this is in the cloud, where God will really reveal to you His nature, His glory, is in the cloud. And you can't be in any hurry. It takes 40 days and 40 nights sometimes. We're in such a hurry on Sunday mornings. In such a hurry right now. Some of you have got agendas to keep, and I honor that, and I understand that. But there comes a time, if you really want to see His glory, if you really want to see His nature, if you really want to see what Moses said, I want to see your glory. If you really want to see God, you really want to understand God, and you want to get into that cloud, then you're going to see something like this. You're going to understand that He is merciful, and He is gracious, and He is long-suffering, and He is abundant in His goodness, and He does keep truth, and He does. He's a wonderful God. But you'll also understand that He really does judge sin. And that he really does bring the iniquities of the father upon the third and the fourth generation. He really does do that. And that's his nature. And that's God. And when you really get into God, when you get into his glory, when you get into the mount, and you get into his presence, you're going to see this. And so people that don't understand this part about God, both parts, the goodness and the severity of God, when you don't understand that, then you've never been in the glory of God. You've never been in that cloud. You've never been in his presence. You've got some fixation of God that isn't true. It's Hebrews, right? It says, behold, the goodness and the severity of God. Our God is, Hebrews says, I know there, 12, says that our God is a consuming fire. And when you really get into the glory cloud and you really begin to understand God, this is what you see. Now, this is the glory of God. Now, this is what the church is going to be. How do I know that? Well, the book of Revelation 21:9 says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then verse 10 says, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What is that great and heavenly city? Somebody just say, it's the bride. It's the church. It's the Lamb's bride. That's what it is. It's the church. It's descending out of heaven, having what? Verse 11. Having the glory of God. See, there's going to be a church that understands the goodness and the severity of God, that understands the merciful, the gracious, the long-suffering, the abundant in goodness, the truth, the keeping of transgressions and sin, and that he will by no means clear the guilty. Be not deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever man sows, that too shall he also reap. And that he does visit the iniquity onto the children to the third and the fourth generation. This is the glory of God. And there's going to be a church that comes down out of heaven understanding this and being this and understanding this is the glory of God. The amazing thing, folks. This is the cloud. This is the glory of God. And this is what will lead us out of the wilderness. Until we understand the goodness and the severity of God, we're never going to get out of the wilderness. Until we understand the mercy, the truth, the long-suffering, the gentleness of God, then also understand that he does not just forget about sin, that he does visit the iniquities of the guilty, and that he really does visit what we do onto our children in the third and fourth generation. Okay. And then I think the last principle that I saw in the cloud, as I was looking at it, is the cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Exodus 40:34, then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, again, notice the way that we have transgressed upward into this thing. First of all, the cloud's leading us. Then we notice the angels that are in the cloud that are ministering to us. Then we receive the provisions of the cloud. Then we hear the voice of the cloud. And then we keep moving on in the cloud. Then we want to get into the cloud. And in the cloud, we see his glory. In the cloud, we see the purposes of God. We're in the cloud. And now all of a sudden, everything's changed. It's not so long him leading us or us wanting to get into him, but now it's wanting him to get into us. All of a sudden, now the tabernacle wants to be filled with his presence. I see this fulfilled two ways in the New Testament. First of all, we are individual tabernacles. We should desire to be filled with his presence. And secondly of all, we're a church body. Our church body should be filled with his glory. Amen? So I'm seeing this. But the main thing that I want to project to us is that I want him to lead me. And I want to get into him. I want to get in that glory. But what I really want him to do is fill me with His presence. Amen. All that other is good. But if you got His presence in you, you got all the other. And the goal is to build Him a place to come and dwell. The goal isn't just to follow Him around in the wilderness. In fact, when you get out of the wilderness, He stops leading you as a cloud. You start walking by faith. And the goal isn't just to have Him provide your daily needs. That's good. And the goal isn't just to hear His voice. That's wonderful. But my sheep hear my voice. And the goal isn't just to get into Him and feel the goosebumps. And the goal isn't only to see the glory, but the goal is to become the glory of God that comes out of the heavenly dimension and comes to earth and ministers to people. We are a kingdom of what? Priest. When I minister to people, I want to minister the glory of God. I want to minister the goodness and the severity. Some people don't understand that, Steve. They don't understand when you minister the severity of God. They just want the goodness of God. When you preach the severity of God, they don't like it anymore. Tell people you're not raising your kid right, they don't like it anymore. Tell people their finances are screwed up, they don't like it anymore. Tell people their marriages are messed up, they don't like it anymore. You tell people that God's going to judge you because of this, and He's going to reject you, and He's going to reject your children, they don't like it anymore. They murmur and they complain, and plague comes. Well, hallelujah! Don is still a good teacher, isn't it? Amen. And so it was. The cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Israel learned to follow the cloud. In the wilderness, they learned to follow the cloud. They learned that they followed the cloud, that He protect them. They learned that they followed the cloud, that He would give them warmth by the fire. He would give them shade by the cloud. They learned that He would provide for their food needs. He would take care of them. They learned that God would speak to them. They learned by following the cloud that they could understand His glory. He would fill that tabernacle. They learned to follow the cloud in the wilderness. They learned that. People learn to follow the cloud. Well, then why do I and you sometimes get so upset when people want to leave here and go find a cloud that's moving? Is it not a principle of God to follow the cloud? Let's find one that's moving. And so when people leave, are they not looking for a cloud that's moving? And so I got to understand that. It's a principle of God. So what we need to do as a church body is find out why He's not moving here. Right? And you know, it might be murmuring or complaining. Or it might be that He sent a plague. Or it might be something going on. But we need to find out what it is and fix it, so that God will start moving again. And I have trouble. And I believe that God's people have trouble. Because we always want the cloud to move. Don't we? How many of you would rather the cloud move than sit still? Sure. We all want the cloud to move. We used to sing that song before our Exodus. The cloud of glory is moving. Is that what it used to be? Is that what it was? The cloud is moving. So, and we always want the cloud to move. But bad things happen when the cloud doesn't move. And I want us to understand that. And in that paragraph right there, under the third paragraph or so, see under there, or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year, the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. That should be bold and underlined. That's scripture. So, some days He tarried 2 days, some days He tarried 1 month, and some days He tarried a whole year before He moved. And the problem I have, the trouble I have, is I understand that when we're not moving, something bad's going to happen. And it never fails. Because you see, when they got still, Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses. I mean, these were his top dogs. Wasn't long Korah rebelled, a priest, in his company, while they were standing still. They went to the border. They went to the Jordan River, stood there 40 days, and the whole nation rebelled. Said, we ain't going in. We ain't going to do it. And every time they did that, God sent a plague. And people would die, and they'd lose people. Bad things happen when a church gets still. But how many of you know that God knows that? How many of us really know that God knows that if He doesn't move, somebody's going to get anxious and somebody's going to leave? But could that be a part of His purpose and a part of His program? Could that be God wanting to display murmuring and complaining? Could that be God wanting to show us that we're disgruntled and that we've got problems? Should that be God? Could that be God? I think so. I don't think it surprised God when these people rebel. I don't think it surprised Him at all. And what I want to say is the Lord will allow those times when we will sit still, sometimes 2 days, sometimes 1 month, and sometimes for a whole year, nothing will happen. How many knows that's the truth? And we go down in number. Is it because we're not trying? Is it because if God says to do something that I won't do it? I mean, get the picture. You know, every day Moses would get up out of his tent and he'd peek out the door and he'd look at the tabernacle to see if the cloud had risen to move or not. Every day Moses would do that. Every day he'd stick his head out there. Are you moving today, Lord? How many knows that every day of my life I'm looking to see if we're moving? Every day I want to move, folk. And if the cloud hadn't risen and he was still sitting on top of the tabernacle, Moses would hang his head and go back into the charge of the Lord. What could Moses do to make the cloud move? What? Could he get in special ministry? Could he get Jethro to come and preach to him? Would that do it? Could he fast 40 days and 40 nights in the cloud? Would that do it? Could he build the beautifulest structure made of gold and brass and silver? Could he build a wonderful structure out there in their wilderness? Would that do it? Don, I tell you, this is good stuff. I mean, really, it really. Moses could do nothing. Listen, I know. There is nothing I haven't tried to do to get God to move. The best ministry I can get. Oh, He comes and maybe we move for a day, but we stop again. You know, I get Jethro to come and preach to us. You know, I get the best carpet, the prettiest structure we can possibly do. You know, I get everything we can do. And I look out the tent every day. Lord, are You moving today? You can't do nothing because the cloud's not moving until God commands it to move. How many knows I'm right? Now, everybody here knows this is the truth. It just kind of puts it in a perspective that we can get a biblical foundation for what we already know. We already know we can't do nothing. We've got the best praise. We've got the best worship. We've got the best people. We've got the best. But we're, you know, sometimes we just don't move. It's at the commandment of the Lord. I'm on page 179. I'm going to read that paragraph, that big paragraph, under at the commandment of the Lord. Let's be realistic. Which was the most likely? Which happened the most? Did the cloud move more or sit still more? Answer me, please. All right, let's let that sink in a second. Are we going to be moving more or sitting still more? Is there going to be excitement in the house of the church at Lafayette more? Or is there going to be kind of a non-excitement in the house of the church at Lafayette more? Are you hearing this? He said, I'm really wanting this to be truth to us. It is only at the command of the Lord they journeyed. Every day Moses would awake and look to see if the cloud lifted. Most days, nearly all days, the cloud rested. Moses would come out, look to see where the cloud was. If the cloud had rested, he would hang-headed, go about the day's activities. However, if the cloud lifted, a rush took over. Excitement filled him in the camp. How many is understanding this? There are times, isn't there, when we know he's moving, and there's a rush that comes into our fellowship. There's a rush. Everybody gets busy. Everybody starts doing something. You don't hear any murmuring or complaining. You know, everybody's happy. Oh, boy, we're going to reading circle. We're doing this. We're getting people saved. We're doing something. Well, God's moving, and we're moving. And we don't hear any complaining at that time. Everyone became busy, and the entire camp, the Gershonites, the Merarites, and the Kohathites had to load the tabernacle and prepare it to moving. The people had to prepare themselves for moving. The animals needed herding. Everyone became busy. There was no time for murmuring or complaining. There was no time for rebellion. Our camp's moving. I'm as a pastor, and I go all these preachers, and these preachers, their basic question is, how many do you run on Sunday, brother? You know what they're really asking me? Is the cloud moving? Is the cloud moving at the church at Lafayette? And what, 9 times out of 10, is my answer going to be? No, we're sitting still. He's not moving today. But every once in a while, I get to say, yes, brother. The cloud of glory is moving. We're heading on. We're going to the Jordan. But more times than not, and I want us to hear this. I really want us to hear it by the Spirit. And I want us to understand, it is the normal not to be moving. Let's all get this before I leave it. I might not ever get a shot like this again at it. Understand, we're not going to be all hyped up and jumping and running all the time. It don't work that way. There's no church that I know of that is all the time hopping and jumping and running and going. Most of the time, we're going to be just like it is right now. Woo! Burn this foot. It's going to be just like it is right now. Now, sometimes the cloud moves. And when he moves, folks, let's jump in there and load it up and go. Because he's going to stop again. And you might leave here and go find one that's moving, but it's going to stop. And then you're going to leave that and go find, and find, you're going to find one that's moving, but it's going to stop. And you're going to spend your whole life chasing a cloud. Am I right? I'm right. I know that I'm right. I might not be saying it good or well or whatever, but I know that this is the truth. I've been in it too long to know that you're going to move every day. I wished it wasn't that way. I wish we were hopping off the walls and bouncing off the ceilings or something like that. I wish we were doing that every time. It's just not that way. But what do you do when it's still? And we're done. What do you do when the cloud's not moving? What? Resting? What? Keep the charge of the Lord. I want you to hear that. What are you? You are a kingdom of what? We spent weeks and weeks and weeks ministering. What do priests do? Minister the altars. So what do we do if we're a kingdom of priests when the cloud's not moving and we're not loading up everything to go out there and to some new area or some new dimension and minister in God? If we're not moving, then what should we be doing? Ministering to people, keeping the charge of the Lord. If we're a kingdom of priests, that's what we've got to give ourselves to. And if we'll keep doing that, we won't be murmuring. And we won't be complaining. And we won't be wondering when the cloud's going to move. We'll be all wrapped up in ministering to people. We'll be keeping the charge of the Lord. And I put them up. And I shouldn't, because I want to read one more passage. And here it is. Verse 23. At the command of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord. Say that back to me. They kept the charge of the Lord. What does that mean? What has He charged you to do? What has He told you to do? Then when we're not moving, that's what you're doing. They kept the charge of the Lord. Whatever He's charged us to do, when we're not moving, when things aren't happy, when things aren't hot, when things aren't bouncing, then we're keeping the charge of the Lord. We're a kingdom of priests and we minister. And this is the commandment of the Lord and at the commandment of Moses. After the Lord spoke to Moses, they moved. They keep the charge of the Lord. That's the glory cloud, Cindy. So what do we do when He's not moving? Keep the charge of the Lord. Will He provide for you if you're murmuring? Yep. But will you die in the wilderness if you're murmuring? Nobody answered. Will you die in the wilderness? Yes. You'll never possess the entire thing God wants you to have. Oh, there's so much more than we've got, people. There is so much more. Jesus says, I come to give you life and that what? More abundantly. What does that mean? Well, how abundant are you? Did He come to give you more abundance than you got? I want to give you what you got more. He can do that. Give you life and that more abundantly. Goodness gracious, there's so much more than we've got. Oh, there's so much more than we've got. Goodness, Jesus, we want to follow You, Lord. Let's stand. Amen. Let's lift our hands. Lord, we love Your moving. We love that glory cloud.